know, I'd like to thank a lot of people. I'm not going to because I'll leave someone out, I'm sure. But I never expected to be ministering in music. Never expected it. We've been preaching in nursing homes for six years. I think we've preached in seven or eight different nursing homes. And I was normally the one leading the music, and I can't read music, but I know when it goes up and when it goes down and when you need to hold it a little bit longer, and I can do this, and a lot of people can't do that, so I'm the guy that does that. And I can't play the piano, so I get to do this. And it's been a blessing. I remember we could not get our three boys to sit on the piano bench without punching each other or elbowing or whatever. We were working on a special where they were all playing the piano, and we could never have them, when they were younger, together to practice a family special, because we sang at the nursing homes long before we ever sang here. And Doc had them for 40 minutes, and they came back singing parts, and I was truly amazed. And they didn't mess around for Doc. You know, it was all business, and I'm very, very grateful for all your investment. And I could say a lot about Pastor Davidson, and I could even say a little bit about Pastor Camp, but Pastor Davidson really helped me. It's about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, we were back in his office, and we were looking at his calendar. And I had not been ordained, and it needed to be done. And he looked at the calendar, and he said, "This is when we're doing it, and you need to be half done by here." And he told me what he thought I should do, and I pretty much did it. And if he hadn't said, "This is what you need to do, and you need to be half done by here," and then he followed up with me, how's it coming, brother? Where are you?" And I stayed on schedule, and you know, things, the ordination didn't go as I would have planned it, but I think it actually worked out better. And I'm grateful for that. I mean, I could go on and I could go on, and I think Doc just found out this morning that we're here another week. Listen, but we're not doing any more singing or nothing. A week from now, we're just going to slowly just slip out like nothing is going on. You know, I told my wife, you know, I said, "Listen, we're staying another week." And she was relieved, and I was relieved. And I talked to Pastor, and he said, "Okay, well, we still need to have the fellowship. We've already got it scheduled and planned. And listen, you need to stay. We got lots of cupcakes. And if you're curious if they're any good, ask Caleb Myers. He's had one already. Are they good?" Yeah, okay, so, all right. Didn't take me long to figure that out. Just teasing. But I talked to my boss, and I said, "Listen, things have changed a little bit. My last day is still Friday, but, you know, we postponed the move." And he's like, "Great. Come to the meeting on Monday. I want you to talk to the people. And you've been here 9 years. I want you to tell them a little bit about how you were able to do it for 9 years. And listen, you don't have to bring any food. Just come and have breakfast with us. And when we're done having breakfast, you can leave." I'm like, "Really? Okay, honey, I got breakfast Monday morning." Even the guy at A-plus car rental that I'm renting a cargo van from was just tickled pink that we were not leaving when I said we were originally leaving. He's like, "Oh, Mr. Birchwell, thank you so very much." And I'm like, "Wow, everybody's just excited that we're staying another week." It's just, even Joe was, I called Joe Blondo and I said, "Listen, we're not leaving when we think we're leaving, so, you know, don't break your neck trying to get back here, because I know you're in Tennessee and got grandbabies to visit." And he was like, "Wow, thank you, Brother Birchwell. That takes a real load off." And hey, he made it anyway. I told him there were cupcakes, but listen, you saw all these kids that went to Camp Barnabas 12 or 13 years ago. We went to Camp Barnabas, and my kids were about this big, ankle biters, and it was complete pandemonium, even just making it across the campus. But Camp Barnabas changed my life. We surrendered for full-time service at Camp Barnabas 12 years ago, maybe 13, I've lost count. I know I was somebody said, are you going to be doing any sword drills? So let me get back to the camp. I have an accordion message, okay? That's something else I learned from Pastor Davidson. Sometimes you got to compress it down. Sometimes you got to stretch it out. So I'm compressing it down. Don't panic. My kids don't believe me. No, they don't. They know my tendencies. But pray for these kids that went to Camp Barnabas. I am praying and have been praying that it would be a lifetime decision. One of those things that doesn't wear off. Not just a bounce in the polls, but from here on that their destiny would be changed because of what they heard at camp. And the biblical principle, and biblical principle is awesome. But I had someone ask me if we were going to be doing any sword drills, and I said, honey, it's not that kind of message. And she said, well, make it that kind of message. So, draw your swords. Proverbs. You got to hold it by the spine. Hold it up over your head. You can't hold it by this part. You got to hold it like this. Someone's going to have to help you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse
number 5. You're leaning. Charge. Okay, the ladies have it. Emily first, and then Mrs. Davidson. Wow. Keep your place right there. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Read verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let me ask you a question. What time is it? What time is it? What? It's Bible time. Wow, I know what you did one summer. You know, don't worry about what time it is. It's no matter what time it is, it's time to trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the testimonies and what a blessing that was, Lord. And we thank you for the music. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship afterwards. And Father, we thank you that we can be here. And Lord, you're going to have to work through me. I want it to be about you and not about me. So Father, we commend the rest of this service to you. And it's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, that died, was buried, and rose again. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, campers, maybe you've realized that you're not at camp anymore. I figure some of you got home Saturday afternoon, maybe about 10:30, and by 10:45, you were on the couch, and you were out. Anybody want to be honest? Okay, I know, because when one of my kids wants to take a nap, they're either sick or they're wiped out. And I had kids sleeping all over the place. But that's good. It was a good... Sarah, did you take a nap? Okay, I just want to thank you right now for making me cry before I got up here, because I got it out of my system. It was a wonderful testimony. It fits right in with the message. But, you may realize that you're not at camp anymore. All those... media devices that you all spend so much time on, they're back in your life now. And you're tempted to get on them again and check your email and your Facebook and your Google and your Twitter and all that other junk. And then you're watching the news because the TV's on. And you're seeing the rest of the world. And then you got your cell phone and you're texting and you're talking. All those electronic devices, you didn't have them for a week. And they're just, you know. And the environment's changed. You know, you're back home. You're out of that controlled environment where your parents weren't there. Not that any of your parents are bad, but you know, you had a measure of freedom. And maybe you realize that, you know, you're not in Kansas anymore. You know, you're back home. What time is it? It's time to trust God. You're taking what you learned, and everyone else here, we're taking what we learned and we're moving forward now. And you've got some decisions that you've got to make, campers. Kyle, as a counselor, and the other counselors that went, you've got some decisions to make. Because if you, let's look at it this way. You've been trusting God all week. You've been looking to Him. Your focus has been on Him. You all that other stuff was put off to the side. You didn't have a bunch of, you had to make your bed though, didn't you? You didn't have all kinds of chores to do. You didn't have to take the garbage out, mow the yard, feed the dog, any of that stuff. And all that time was spent focusing on God. You guys probably did devotions every morning. And you talked about the Lord, and you talked about the book every night, and you were really trusting Him. You know what time it is? It's still time to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Did you know that's a command? We're commanded. You trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The command is to trust God and to rely on Him regardless of what comes, regardless of where you are, regardless of your circumstances. It's to trust God. To trust God and trust Him. Now, God is the solution, not you. God is the solution, not you. You've developed some new habits. I know you have. I've seen changes in my own children, which is a blessing. You need to keep those habits going. You know, a lot of those new habits dealt with trusting God. You don't want to go back to trusting you. There's a lot of things that you cannot figure out, and you're still required to trust Him. He requires our complete trust and faith. It's a command. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Psalm 4:5 tells us to offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. All throughout the Bible, we're commanded to trust Him. When we fail to trust Him, when we take it into our own hands, when we worry, listen, what is it when we fail to obey a command? It is a sin of omission, and we are just as guilty as if we've broken any other of God's laws and God's commandments. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us. Wednesday night, I mentioned that word refuge. It's a word we don't use a whole lot anymore. It's a great word. It describes a God that we can run to, and His arms are open. He's always there. Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You must depend on Him or you will fail. Campers, you must depend on Him or you will fail. Young married couples, you must depend on Him or you will fail. Pastor, you must depend on Him or you will fail. Only God can be completely trusted. And He is completely trustworthy. Psalm 118:8. What was the psalm you were talking about this morning about meditating on? Was it Psalm 18 or 118? 18. I looked at the wrong one. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, that's an action verb. That's something that you need to do. You need to take the care and you need to cast it on Him. And He'll take it. It is a command. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But He gives us a caution. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trusting in your own understanding will always bring guilt. Don't depend on or rely upon what you think. Depend upon, rely upon, trust upon what He says. Now, I don't want to get too far off on a rabbit trail, but men and women don't think the same. They don't. As a man, I'm always trying to figure it out, find a solution, solve the problem. Sometimes my wife will talk to me, and I only frustrate her beyond measure because I'm giving her suggestions on how to solve her problem. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you try that? Honey, this is what you need to do. I've learned, been married 27 years, so sometimes it goes against my nature, but I just sit and I listen attentively. No, I'm not staring into space. I'm listening attentively because my wife needs to talk and I'm listening. Men, I know me, I know you, and I know you, and I know how you try and figure things out, scheming. Faith is living without scheming, and we're cautioned not to lean unto our own understanding. Isaiah 5:21 says, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." 2 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." You know, I'm remembering a verse that talks about if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. Okay? We don't need strong faith. Weak faith will move a mountain because the object of our faith is Jesus Christ, and he is very strong. Here's the problem. It's not that we have a little bit of faith, because a little bit of faith can move mountains. It's because we have faith and then we don't have faith. We have faith and then we don't have faith. We need to stretch it out. Instead of on and off, yes and no, in and out, it's constant faith. Does that make sense? That's the issue. Are you trusting in your skills, your abilities, your muscles? A lot of you young fellows, you're very sharp. I could pick out many of you young guys, physically fit, very strong, very smart, run circles around Mr. Birchwell. You need to be careful. You'll trust in your own abilities, in your own strength, in your own quick reflexes, in your own thinking. The Bible says don't do that. Psalm 44:66, "I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me." Are you trusting others? You spend a lot of time on the phone, talking to others, texting about your problems, posting them on Facebook. Psalm 146:3, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help." The son of man is not referring to deity there. Listen, very familiar. If we're not careful, we'll pass right over it. And I am compressing it down because I can smell those cupcakes from here. But, you know, there's a command to trust in the Lord. We're cautioned not to lean unto our own understanding. And then there is the covenant, the promise. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." He will direct our paths if we acknowledge him and follow him. And the commandments of God, the commandments that God gives us are always for our own good. Many times we look at it as, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this, we can't do that, and we feel like we're being punished. We're not being punished. Those commandments to do this, to do that, whatever, they're for our protection. There's a difference. "All thy ways," "in all thy ways," speaks about all your behavior, all your lifestyle, all of your conduct. In all of your ways, all of your days, acknowledge him. Is there any part of your life where you're keeping God out? Is there any part of your day where you're keeping God out? You know, you get up in the morning and you do your devotions and you bring him in and you're spending time with God, and then you go to work and you leave God at home. And I used to be a different person at work. No. God comes with me now. And that's the way it should be. Is there any part of your day where you're keeping him out? All thy ways, acknowledge him. The idea there with acknowledge him is knowing his opinion. In all of your ways, in all of your behavior, in all of your lifestyle, throughout all of the day, you need to know his opinion about what's going on and what he says about it. What does God say about it? It's in here. "In all thy ways, know God, and he shall direct thy paths." That's the promise. Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Psalm 2:12, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Psalm 40, verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Psalm 34, 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Choosing God's way with your life will always reveal his path. Young person, choosing God's way will always reveal God's path. Psalm 9:10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. He will win the victory for you. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What time is it? It's time to trust God. Campers, you're not at camp anymore. It's time to trust God. If you don't trust God, you will fail. My friends, it's time to trust God. If we don't trust God, we will fail. Honey, it's time to trust God. If we don't trust God, we are going to fail. Pastor, what time is it? You've got a couple families leaving the church. It's time to trust God. Praise the Lord that he's sending visitors and people to join the church. Praise the Lord. I remember when we were coming in, there was a whole flock of people going out. And I'm just praying it's the same right now. Kyle, what time is it? Next time that someone says, hey, does anybody know what time it is? And you say to yourself, it's time to trust God. Even when things are going great,